Well, D-Mace with the mic drop on the way out of the studio. Good stuff from him. Back here on Darren Donick and Jace, we say hello and good morning to former Ravens head coach Brian Billick. Brian, how you doing?
Doing good today.
Derek Mason was just in studio with us. He just left, and he told us to make sure to tell you hello. So he had some nice things to say about you when we were talking to him last segment.
Well, I appreciate you. He's one of my favorite players, one of the hardest working pros I've ever been around.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said one of the things he appreciated about you was you treated the veterans like veterans. And he said there was times when you would come up. And remember, this was for a lot of young listeners. They're like, two-a-days, I don't understand. Yes, there was actually two-a-days in training camp back then that you would come up to him and say, you know what, take the second one off. And Derek was like, what do I do now? I'm suited up. I'm ready to practice. But he appreciated that you made, you know, gestures like that to the veterans.
Well, you got to take care of them, particularly ones that you know are going to work hard. And sometimes you have to help them help themselves because they want to work so hard. They're going to I didn't want to have his best game left on the practice field.
Now, you know, in this market, I mean, Titans, Ravens, it doesn't take much to get people really interested, especially a Titans, Ravens playoff game. I don't know if we'll ever be able to recreate back in the day when you were on the sidelines and Jeff Fisher, who we had on earlier in the week, was on the sidelines. I mean, that week when the Ravens were coming to town or the Titans were going to Baltimore, that's all anybody wanted to talk about. But it's certainly starting to feel like that. When you look at this Ravens team, what do you see? I mean, they've obviously been almost unstoppable on offense.
Yeah, and they're the most complete team. Obviously, what Lamar Jackson doing is stunning. In his level of production. But I think it overshadows the fact that they are so legitimate. They've got maybe the best three tight ends combination in the league. Big, physical, can hurt you down the field. Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown can obviously make big plays, catch the ball underneath, break tackles, and make big plays. Good, solid offensive line. But more importantly, or equally importantly, they may have the best defense in the National Football League right now. You're not going to run on the inside. And their secondary is solid. If they have to stack the box to stop the run, which they're likely going to have to do against the Titans, that secondary is going to match up very, very well. That's going to be the challenge for Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown to when they do want to stack the box to stop the run, can you make those big plays down the field? So that's, to me, they're the best team in the NFL right now because they're the most complete team in the NFL.
Now, conversely, when you see the Titans, what do you see?
Outstanding team, obviously. Their ability to physically run the ball. Derrick Henry's been brilliant. I did a piece on playbook. You saw the tail end of the game in that fourth quarter. New England had basically taken their goalie out of net. I mean, they had 10, 11 guys on the line of scrimmage to try to stop the run, and they couldn't. And Ryan Tannehill's been absolutely brilliant when you do that. His completion percentage, his ability to make big plays down the field. This defense is going to be challenged. They're going to have to commit to stopping Lamar Jackson, getting outside the edges. Again, I talked about it all year, but there's only one way you're going to stop that offense. You can't let Lamar Jackson get outside the edges. If that being your focus, can they beat you just running Ingram and Edwards and then throwing the ball downfield? Sure they can. Yeah, they're capable of that. But if you let Lamar Jackson outside the edges, you will lose, period, game, set, match.
Brian Billick is with us. That being said, Coach, one of the things Jeff Fisher suggested was it might be a smart thing just to try to give ground and play well in the red zone. That might be your only chance to slow down the Ravens' offense. Do you agree with that?
That's a possibility, and it's not a bad plan. I don't know that I'm going to capitulate and just say, okay, tell you what, I'm just going to let you come down to the 20 every drive and see what we can do to hold up. But clearly, when you shrink the zones, again, with the importance being, yes, if you then bring a 5- and 6-man rush, not necessarily with the intent of sacking him, but just don't let him go anywhere. Put some pressure on him. Make him throw in timing. Now you've reduced the areas. He's very good between the numbers, down the hashes, where he's not been as good as on the outside. 5 of his 6 interceptions have come outside the numbers. So throwing the ball on the outside has not been a strength. But stopping the run of Lamar Jackson doesn't mean you can't ignore Ingram and Edwards and their ability to run. But you cannot let Lamar Jackson. Now, this is easier said than done. It's real simple to say, yeah, do this. It's not going to be easy. Don't get me wrong. And could he still beat you by just handing the ball off? When you look at San Francisco, probably played the Ravens as well as anybody and has, you know, one of the better defenses in the league. They held combined Ingram and Edwards to under 70 yards rushing. They only gave up 105 yards passing. All right. The problem is they gave up 120 yards rushing to Lamar Jackson and most of it outside the edges. So these other guys are capable and they still have the ability to beat you like that. But as I've said before, and I'm not trying to be flippant about it, if you let Lamar Jackson outside the edge of your defense, you lose, period.
What? How much do you think, Coach, is the scheme that they have built around Jackson, and how much of it is it just simply that Jackson is such a special talent that we haven't seen in a long time?
And they're doing a great job, the scheme, and Greg Roman, who was on my staff when I was in Baltimore, has done a brilliant job. But at the end of the day, Lamar Jackson is a unique dude. I mean, this guy, we have not seen the like of him. And what you have to give them the most credit for, in my opinion, is their willingness to let him do that. When I did their preseason games, I asked John Harbaugh, and I used Cam Newton's 139 carries in 2017 as the benchmark of, okay, is Lamar Jackson going to be over or under those 139 carries? And he didn't blink. He said, oh, absolutely, over, and by a lot. And to me, that's the most revolutionary thing they've done. They've bought all in. If he wants to carry the ball 200 times on the season, they're all in. And some people will question it, say, can he get hurt? Can he sustain that? Doesn't matter. He hasn't been hurt. He's been able to sustain it all year long, likely going to sustain it through the playoffs. And that unique combination. I know they wanted to play Tennessee, not because they didn't respect them. They have a great deal of respect for Tennessee. But they've played Kansas City. They've played New England. They've played Houston. They think they have an advantage in playing Tennessee for the very fact that Tennessee has not seen Lamar Jackson yet. And because you can't duplicate it, you can't emulate it in practice. And until you get on the field and see the speed and the way that he can get outside, it takes getting used to. The teams that have a chance to play it the second time, like we saw last year, San Diego, or I should say L.A. I'm from L.A. I still can't call them the L.A. Chargers. But the Chargers played substantially better the second time than they did the first time. And so that's the challenge for Tennessee. Can they get very quickly a grasp of how to play a Lamar Jackson?
As you mentioned, the Titans' offense, since they switched to Tannehill, has become pretty dominant. We don't talk about the Ravens' defense very much, but they're a pretty darn good defense. What stands out to you about them?
Well, first off, you're not going to run in the interior. They are so big and so physical with Brandon Williams. They added Pecco. I mean, where they are vulnerable is on the edges. They're a little smallish, and that's obviously where Derrick Henry can do a lot of damage. You've got to make them drop the extra guy down into the box. And even if they do, Tennessee has proven to be physical enough that they can make you pay. San Francisco ran on the edges very well. The last time they lost, The Cleveland Browns ran all over them for better than 170 yards. Now, Brandon Williams was hurt, and they had some injuries. So they're a better team than the one that lost to Cleveland way back, 12 weeks ago. But if you're going to run on them, it's going to have to be on the edges.
Brian Billick is with us from the NFL Network, former Ravens coach. So as we mentioned, we had Jeff Fisher on earlier this week and Trent Dilfer, so we've kind of taken a walk down memory lane. I can remember growing up in Nashville, the battles between the Titans and the Ravens, and when you were there as the head coach, things would get a little chippy and chirpy at times, but what are some things you remember about those days?
Well, just that, and I think the thing that distinguished it, remembering that they were in the division now, a lot of people have to remember, it was because that AFC Central included Jacksonville and Tennessee, and certainly there's the natural rivalry we have with Pittsburgh and has been for a long time. It carried over from the Cleveland days. But the Tennessee rivalry was born out of the fact that we typically, for the time that we were there in the same division, it a lot of times came down to those. When they were good, we were good. And so usually the win or the loss was going to cost you to Tennessee or Tennessee to Baltimore. So that it was what I liked about it. The rivalry was truly born out of the competition, not just some, you know, sheer you know, angst or, you know, you know, you have natural rivals that you just have. But the fact that the rivalry was truly on the field, because it typically a loss really cost you.
Do you think, and I, from what you just said about the Ravens side, but with the Titans, I know they had rivalries, you know, with obviously Pittsburgh as the Oilers, but I felt like you guys, that was the first Titans rivalry because of just those early battles that you both teams had.
Yeah, and it was also because it's not a rivalry if one of the teams isn't very good and can't win. For instance, for the Baltimore fans, when I got here, Jacksonville was a big rivalry. And it was a rivalry because they'd never beaten Jacksonville. And now we weren't a rival to Jacksonville because they kicked our ass for however many years prior to, you know, they didn't care. So it wasn't a rivalry to them. That's why I'm saying I think with the Tennessee, it both teams over a period of time, when one was good, the other was good. And that's when the rivalry really begins to grow, because that head-to-head now is going to have consequences. Clearly the most notable when we came into Delphi Stadium and they had not lost there, and we came in and beat them and then came back in the playoffs and beat them in what was supposed to be their Super Bowl run. So that certainly is going to enhance a sense of rivalry when one team makes another team pay like that.
Back to this game, you know, you were talking earlier about the Ravens offense and trying to contain them. Why do you think Dean Pease, Titans defensive coordinator, would be the guy for that job?
Well, because he's a great coach, and he recognizes what it is you've got to do. And you got to change it up a bit. You have to recognize, it goes back to the Belichickian. And remember, he was on New England staff. You know, the Belichickian, you got to stop what they do best. At the end of the day, that's what you've got to do. And if the other aspects of it can beat you, then so be it. They're just a better team. And that's why I say I'd be shocked if they try to play the Ravens straight up. They'll learn very quickly if they do, if they think they're going to get home with a four-man rush, if they think they can just keep the ends only with a four-man rush and keep Lamar Jackson inside the pocket. I'd be shocked if that would be the approach, because so far nobody's been able to do that. So you're going to have to take the different approach. Yes, you leave yourself vulnerable at times, but as I said, they're excellent down the hashes. If I were coordinating the defense, I'd give them anything they want outside the numbers, because they haven't, on a consistent basis, shown that they could do that. Because not, you know, every defense can't stop everything. There are vulnerabilities. And the strength of our defenses over the years, whether it was Marvin Lewis or Mike Nolan or Rex Ryan or eventually Dean Pease, that they made it very clear, guys, this is what this defense does. Now, if we're vulnerable in the flat and they throw it to the flat, then so be it. That's on us, because you can't stop everything. But the players have to know what the strength of each defense is, what it's intended to do. And as I keep saying, you every play you better account for Lamar Jackson, particularly outside the pocket. Or if just you bring a four-man rush and you put those ends and you don't let them outside, but you give them lanes up the middle because it's only a four-man rush, he'll beat you that way too.
Last thing, Brian, what is the, in your opinion, what is the number the winning team needs to get to get to the championship round?
For you mean the number in terms of,
yeah,
the
like,
formula for throwing or running or
well,
that
like
type
the,
of thing?
No, just the, like how much are you going to need to score to win this game, in your opinion?
Well, for Tennessee, they better hope it's a low-scoring game, which means they've held on. The other thing with the Ravens that you have to look at, their typical MO has been go the length of the field in the opening drive and score. Your offense comes on, they go three and out. Their offense comes on, let's remember, it's not just offense, defense, they get the best kicker in the NFL. And you get to the 40, he's going to get 3 points. So now all of a sudden you're down 10 to nothing. Now you got to change the game plan. You panic a little bit, and you get to the end of the game, and they have the ball for 36 or 37 minutes. Where they have, not say struggled, but been more competitive, is when an offense has been able to hold on to the ball. They've been able to put long drives together. Tennessee is certainly capable of that. If you're looking, if you can get to a 35 or 40 carry game, then you got a chance of beating the Ravens, because it means you've taken away that time advantage. You've kept your offense on the field. You are putting a little more pressure on them, and that's going to force them to bring extra player in the box. And now you get that brilliant young receiver in A.J. Brown, who I think is probably going to be the offensive rookie of the year, and Ryan Tannehill, who's been spectacular, to now get maybe some of those big plays down the field. As good as that secondary is, you can make plays. that's probably the box score that you're looking for.
Good stuff, Brian. I appreciate the visit. Thanks so much for doing this.
Sounds great.
All right, that is Brian Billick, NFL Network and former Ravens head coach, and did a good job of breaking down both teams. We'll come back more of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.